whilst Mark comes and read the scripture to us.
Good morning and welcome. Please remain standing for this morning's Bible reading. You may get your Bibles out and join me for the reading. This morning's Bible verse is from the Old Testament, Psalm chapter 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. May our hearts and minds be receptive to this morning's message from Pastor Duane. Please be seated.
Right. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate that. Well, if you've been here over the last few weeks, we've been doing a series on what's your problem? What's your problem? So if you've ever had somebody come up to you and say, what's your problem? Well, you're in the right place. We're going to figure out what your problem is today and see if we can give you some help with that as well. And today we're going to be really focused on dealing with worry. In this series, we're looking at how God will help you with your problems. And we've gone through a few problems already so far. We've looked at the problem of anger and envy. So if any of you had a problem with anger, or if any of you had a problem with envy, I'm glad you're okay now. Okay, because you've got to listen to the message, and so you're right now, you're right with God, and so I'm glad that all that sort of. So if your problem is worry, well, then you're in the right place. We're going to be dealing with worry today. I like the story of a man who went and hired someone to do all the worrying for him. Okay, he was going to be a professional worrier, so he found somebody who was a professional worrier, and he said to him, he talked about it, and they talked about all the things, that, and he decided, yep, this is the guy, and said, yep, if you want to be my professional worrier, I'll pay you $200,000 a year. And they agreed, they shook hands and said, all right, great, and they were hired, and then right before they were depart, the guy asked him, he says, now you said you're going to pay me $200,000 a year, where are you going to get that from? To which the man responded, well, that's for you to worry about, not me. So wouldn't it be great to have a professional worrier, somebody to do all the worrying for you? And with that in mind, we do have an opening on staff for a professional worrier. So if you're interested, just let me know. Just saying. And we'll see if we can work that. But as lovely it would be to have somebody to pay somebody to do all the worrying for you, worrying is not something that you can just pass on to someone else. You can't outsource worry, but with God's help, you can overcome it, and that's what we're talking about today. So how does God help you with the problem of worry? Well, first of all, let's talk about the problem of worry. We need to understand what worrying is and why it is such a problem. We've just read from Psalms 139, Mark did, where we go through the our key verse here. But let's go back and have another look at that. You're already there, so just follow along with me. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. I don't want to just rush past this verse. I want you to have a look at it. Let's break it down for just a moment here. Search me, O God. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Have you ever gone to God and said, God, search me? Search my heart? I'm afraid that, we're like, okay, God, yeah, here's my heart, but there's a little back corner there that I've got a lock and key on. You just kind of stay out of that one. That's where all my things I really don't want you to know about. I don't want you to deal with. But you can have all this. Search me. When was the last time we said, God, search my heart? I think sometimes we're like, God, just go to the next person. Don't look at my heart. Nothing to see here. And know my heart. He already knows it. But here's an acknowledgement of that. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. Oh, my. Try me. Test me. And know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. I mean, do I have any unconfessed sin in my life, Lord? Is there something in my life that I haven't dealt with that I need to deal with? Well, then, God, search my heart. Bring that to my attention. Why? because he wants to be lead me in the way of everlasting. Boy, I tell you what, you pray that prayer, you may be praying a very painful prayer. Because God may have to come and open you up to get rid of some nasty stuff in your life. He may have to do some surgery on that, and it's going to be painful. Oh, it may be beneficial, absolutely. Because we need to deal with those things in our life. But what a tremendous prayer that is. Let's go on. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 10, it says, "Therefore remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." In other words, God recognizes that our worry is a problem. And he wants you to be, and me to be worry-free. So why is worrying such a problem? Well, let's look at that. First of all, worry robs you from your joy. Worry robs you from your joy. If you know, you probably know some people that just seem like they just worry all the time. There's always something to worry about. And even when you go and you deal with that particular situation or that issue, they find the next thing to worry about. It's just like they worry all the time. And you look at their lives, then there's not a lot of joy there, is there? They just walk around. They seem to walk around miserable all the time. Look at Romans chapter 15, verse 13. It says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." God wants to fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, but worry robs you of that. It robs you of that. David Sunday reminds us that today is the tomorrow that you were worried about yesterday. And often our worries about tomorrow rob us of the joys and blessings that God wants us to experience today. How true that is. Corrie ten Boom wisely observes, "Worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength, carrying 2 days at once. It is moving into tomorrow ahead of time. Worrying doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strength." I believe there's a lot of truth in that. That's the first problem with worrying, is it robs you of your joy. Secondly, worry makes you unfruitful. Jesus told a parable about the seed that was sown among the thorns. You probably have heard that. You're probably familiar with that, which then grew up and it was choked out by the plants. Later, when the disciples asked him the meaning of the parable, he says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, "Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." God wants to use you to serve him and other people, but worrying can get a stranglehold on your life and make you unfruitful. And as we talked about earlier, it just seems like those people who worry all the time, we used to call them worry warts when I grew up, they just seem to worry about the next thing and then worry about the next thing. It seems like they want to be in bondage to that. They can't seem to move past that. This is why Jesus warned us in Luke chapter 21, verse 34, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life, that the day come on you unexpectedly." The day that Jesus is talking about here is the day of his return. God has put you to work in his church and to be a fruitful servant. But if you allow yourself to be weighed down with anxiety of life, you will not be fruitful for God, and the day of Christ's coming will catch you unaware. We're so worried about the things of this life that we're not prepared for his coming. We're not ready for his coming. But also we see worry doesn't accomplish anything. Worry doesn't accomplish anything. In Psalms chapter 127, verse 2, it says, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he gives his beloved sleep." The psalmist here goes and paints a picture for us. He paints a picture of a person who is worried about the basics of life, who spends his whole day working, and then he spends the whole night worrying. Do you know when the most common time that people worry? It's been researched and it's been discovered that the most common time for worrying is between 9 p.m. and 3 a.m. It's when the lights go out. activity ceases and you're lying in bed and all those worries come flooding into your mind and you just can't seem to turn them off. God says all that worrying is in vain. It doesn't accomplish anything. He wants to take those worries away from you and to give you good sleep instead. It's been said that worrying is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. I like that. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Take something you're worried about right now. Right now. Put that in your mind. Think about it. Put it in the forefront of your mind. Don't you think about whatever it is you're worried about right now. You got it? You thinking about it? All right. If it's something that you can change, well, then there's no need to worry about it, is there? Start working on changing it. If it's something that you can't change, then there's no use worrying about it because worrying about it is not going to change it either. Whatever it is, whatever's in your mind, think about it. Notice what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 27. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? I mean, he's asking a question here, and what's the church answer? What's the answer, church? What's the answer to that question? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? What's the answer? No one. Well, we got a smart bunch here today, don't we? No one. Because worrying doesn't change anything. It doesn't accomplish anything. But also we see worry shows a lack of trust in God. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you, trust in the Lord forever. For in Yah," or Yahweh, or Jehovah, "the Lord is everlasting strength." Have a look at this verse. You, who is you here? Who's he talking to? He's talking to God. He's talking about God. You will keep him in perfect peace. Watch this. Whose mind is stayed on you, on God. Why? Because he trusts in you. You want that perfect peace in your life? Well, here, the scriptures tell us where you can find it. You need to start putting your mind on the things of God, not on the things around you, not on your circumstances, not on these issues. You keep your mind focused on the Lord. Why? Because in doing so, you are demonstrating your trust in the Lord. You cannot trust God and worry at the same time. The two are mutually exclusive. If you're trusting God, then you're not worrying. If you're worrying, well, then you're not trusting God. As simple as that. Now, this is where we discovered that worry is not just a simple problem in our lives, but it actually can be sin. Worry indicates a lack of faith. And notice what the Bible tells us about having a lack of faith. In Romans chapter 14, verse 23, it says, "But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, but he does not eat from faith, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is," what? Sin. When you trust God, you don't need to worry about worrying. It shows a lack of trust in God, and that is a sin. Now, some of you are worried about, oh, no, I'm worried about my worry now. Am I sinning? So you're worrying about that now, something else to worry about. Now, listen, worry shows a lack of trust and faith in God. Listen, now that there are some extenuating circumstances, I understand that. There are some cases where of worry that we can't deal with the message today. We can't really get into that in a lot of detail. Sometimes worry comes in the form of like a panic attack or a nervous breakdown or various phobias, PTSD, OCD, GAD, social anxiety, and other issues. There's a number of them out there. There can be physical reasons for worry. There can be medical reasons for worry. There can be medicine-related reasons for worry. In these cases, your worry may not be a sin per se, so much as a condition that needs help. You may need counseling. You may need medical attention. However, if you follow the biblical instructions for worry that we're going to be sharing with you here in this message today, it will help you even in those more extreme cases of worry. So don't turn off on me here today. You want to get a hold of what the Lord has to say about worry here today. So let's understand worry. Let's understand worry. We've talked about the problem of worry in our lives, so let's dig in a little bit deeper now, and let's see if we can get an understanding of what worry is from a biblical perspective. Now, when we often talk about worry, some people may say, I wasn't really worried, I was just concerned, all right? They want to sort of maybe, not think that they're sinning because of their worry. So, I'm not worried, I'm just concerned. Well, let's look at the difference between worry and godly concern. I often hear people say, I'm not worried, I'm just concerned. The first thing we need to do is to understand the difference between worrying and godly concern. Now, so far in our series, we've seen that there is a such thing as a righteous anger. And we've also saw that there was something as a godly jealousy. Well, there's also a such thing as a godly concern as well. When Paul wrote to the Corinthian church about marriage and singleness, he shared with them some examples of godly concern. He wrote to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 7, 30, 32, "But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord." Now, the word translated care here in this verse is also the exact same word that's translated worry in other parts of the Bible in the New Testament. But in each of these cases, the married or the unmarried believer is demonstrating a godly concern, whether it is for the Lord or whether it is for their spouse. Now, later on in the same book, Paul wrote to the church again in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 25. It says that they should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. He wrote to the Philippians, the church, about Timothy, and he said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 20, "For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state." Once again, the word that is translated care in these passages here is the same word that is translated either worry or anxiety elsewhere in Scripture. But in each of these cases, it is a godly concern that is set forth rather than a sinful worrying. Let me share one more with you. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, it says, "Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily is my deep concern for all the churches." He talks about his deep concern. Paul uses a different word for concern here, and that word speaks of care or responsibility, which gives us an additional insight into what godly concern really looks like. So what is godly concern, and how is it different from worrying? Well, I would define godly concern as this, and I've got it up on the screen here. In case you want to write it down, you're welcome to do so that you can get an understanding of it, and you can go through and have a look at it later. But godly concern is a genuine, attentive care that results in positive, responsible action. Godly concern is a genuine, attentive care that results in positive, responsible action. There's so much different from the useless spinning of our wheels that take place when we worry, doesn't it? We need to care for people. Worry is no good, but neither is apathy. We need to exercise godly concern for our lives and the lives of those around us. But notice the last part of that, it's got to be done in a positive and a responsible way. So, what are some things we worry about? What are some things we worry about? When surveyed, the top four things that people said they worry about were relationships, work, finances, and health. Now, let's talk about each one of those for just a moment. Let's talk about relationships. We all worry about relationships. If you're married, you worry about your spouse. If you're single or dating, you worry about relationships that you either may or may not have. If you're a parent, you worry about your children. As you get older, well, then you begin to start worrying about your parents as well, who's going to take care of them and how to take care of them. We should care about the people in our lives. That's the godly concern that we were looking at earlier. But we need to stop worrying about the people in our lives. Okay, we want to care for them, but we want to stop worrying about them. Why? Because God is in control. And you can trust Him. But also, we worry about work. We worry about the work that we have, or we really worry about the work we don't have. We worry about the task, the projects, the deadlines, the bosses, the coworkers. It can become very overwhelming at times when we struggle with that at work. And oftentimes that may even lead to our finances. We worry about finances a lot. And that's true whether you're rich or you're poor. The wealthy, they worry about their wealth and how they can make it grow and what happens if they lose it. While the poor, they're just worried about having enough for tomorrow. Doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. There's still people out there that's going to worry about it. And then you have those of us that are in between somewhere in there, probably. We worry about making finances stretch to the end of the month, wondering if we'll ever get ahead. And then, of course, there's health. Sometimes we worry about actual health problems. Sometimes we worry about potential health problems. And sometimes we worry about imagined health problems. But we all know how important health is to our well-being, and so we worry about health. Val had to go see one of her surgeons one time, and so we went together, and it was quite funny because as you go in there, you sit down, he's got his coffee cup, you know, very relaxed guy, he's got his coffee cup, you know, and he's sitting there enjoying his coffee while he's talking to you. But one thing that really caught my attention is that he had a saying on his coffee cup, and it said, "Don't mistake my medical degree for your Google research." I love that. Don't mistake my medical degree for your Google research. Because what do you do? You don't feel well, or you start getting symptoms, and so we go online and we look it up, and then all of a sudden we've got a diagnosis, and along with that we've got a treatment plan. And so then what do? We go to the doctor and say, "Okay, doctor, here's the problem. I got this, and I need this, this, and this." And the doctor's like, "Hang on, what's going on here? You really need to probably let me do my job, right?" We think that, and the problem with that, though, is that you think you know what you got, and then you start researching and studying that individual thing, and then they have a whole list of symptoms that may occur if you have these things, and the next thing you know, I'm starting to get a headache now. Oh, look out, I'm getting a little cough here. Oh, I'm getting and then all of a sudden we start actually emulating some of those symptoms just because I think it's all in our head. We think we got this problem, so therefore these are the symptoms that go with it. Now listen, I'm glad that we have all the knowledge and the research today online that just right there at our fingertips, but I tell you what, it must drive some doctors crazy. Can you imagine having to deal with that, having to fight with Google? Of course, we also worry about other things. We worry about the world. We worry about our safety. We worry about death and dying. Basically, we just want to know that everything is going to turn out all right. Jesus summed it up this way. Jesus summed up all things when he said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, neither about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" If you jump down to verse 31, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things." What do we worry about? Relationship, work, finances, and health, and they all strike us at our greatest need area. And those things we worry about the most. But what does Jesus say? You don't need to worry about those things. So the question is then, why do we worry? Why do we worry? Well, here's a few reasons why we worry. First of all, we don't know the future. We don't know the future. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how things are going to turn out. We don't know what will and will not work. And too often, we imagine the worst rather than hope for the best. Uncertainty breeds worry. And one of the main reasons we worry is that we do not know the future. But also, we can't solve all of our problems. No matter how hard we try. If it were something we could fix or change, then we would get busy fixing it or changing it, would we not? But we often face problems that are bigger than we are. And we don't have the necessary skills or the resources, and so we worry. And now our worrying doesn't make things any better, does it? In fact, oftentimes it actually makes it worse. Because now we have to deal with the stress and the struggle of worrying. But we are natural worriers. And we go ahead and worry anyway, even though we know it's not going to do any good. But also, we can't be everywhere at once. Our children are away at school. We can't be there for them, and so we worry. Our spouses is coming home late, and so we haven't heard from them, and we don't know where they are, and so we worry. Here's a big one. We worry about what will happen to the loved ones if we die. Why? Because if we're gone, we can no longer be there with them to help them and to support them. So we worry because we don't know the future. We worry because we can't solve our problems, and we worry because we can't be everywhere at once. Now, if you examine all three of these reasons, I'm sure there's many more out there, but we're just going to do these three. If you examine all these three reasons, you will notice a common element here. The reason we worry is that as human beings, we're limited. We're limited. We're finite creatures. And that's when we need to remember that although we are finite, God's not. He is infinite. We don't know the future, but God does. We can't solve all of our problems, but God can. We can't be everywhere at once, but God is everywhere all the time. That's why instead of worrying, you can trust God. God is all-knowing, He is all-powerful, and He is all-present. And so you can trust Him to take care of all things. And so, let me make sure you get your money's worth here this morning. Dealing with worry. That's why you're here. So how do you deal with it? It's a problem we all deal with, we all struggle with, right? So how do you deal with it? Well, we've looked at the problem of worry here this morning. We've looked at understanding worry. So let me share with you six things that I believe will help you deal with the problem of worry in your life. First of all, know that you have a Heavenly Father. Know that you have a Heavenly Father. Now, of course, with that, I'm talking to those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because in order to have a Heavenly Father, you have to be part of the family. And the only way to become part of God's family is through what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, and that is to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. And so if that is a need that you have in your life here this morning, if there's never been a time in your life where you've confessed your sin to the Lord and you've asked Jesus Christ to save you based on what He has done on the cross for you, He's paid for your sin, then let me encourage you, that's your first step. That's the first thing you need to do. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and in doing so, you are part of the family. God is not the father of everyone. You hear people talk about it all the time. We're all God's children. Well, actually, no, we're not. We're not all God's children. We may be all God's creation, but we're not all God's children because that requires a relationship. And that relationship only comes through Christ. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, God adopts you into His family. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" You see, the birds were not created in the image of God, but you and I were. And therefore, we are of greater value than the birds out there. I know there's people out there in environments that think that, you know, all the whales and things and all the animals out there are just as important as we are. They are important, and they're God's creation, and we should take care of them. But we are the only ones that are actually created in the image of God, and we are the only ones that which Jesus Christ came and died for. This is how important we are. God is not just a God who is somewhere up there. If you are saved and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, Heavenly Father who loves you, and He will take care of you. He takes care of the birds of the air. Do you seriously think that He won't take care of you also? I mean, think about that. But also, we need to trust in God. We need to trust in God. Let me share a few verses with you here this morning. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "Casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you." In John chapter 14, verse 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What some great verses there. Trusting God means trusting in God's sovereignty. Trusting that God is in control, especially when life gets hard. Especially when life gets hard. That's when we should be trusting God even more. That's when you need to remember Psalm 139, verse 16. It says, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they are all written, the days fashioned before me when as yet there were none of them. Before time, God has already seen your life. He lives outside of time. He lives in the past, present, and future. He knows what your life is going to look like. He knows what's there. Jerry Bridges suggests that taking this verse and turning it into the following prayer. He says, Lord, this is the prayer. Lord, this circumstance is part of your plan for my life today. Help me respond in faith and in a God-honoring way to your providential will. And then please give me wisdom to know how to address the situation. What a great prayer that is. No matter what we struggle with, no matter what we're going through, in life, man, we can always go to God and say, God, obviously, this is part of your plan. This is what you have for me here today. And so, therefore, I need your help today. Help me deal with this situation. God is in control, and we need to trust him with our circumstances. John Newton wrote a long time ago, how happy are they who can resign all to him and seeing his hand in every dispensation and believe that he chooses better for them than they probably would have chosen for themselves, or they could have chosen for themselves. I mean, we may think that, you know, God, I don't know why you're doing this in my life. You know, if it was me, God, I would probably do this way. You know, like we have a better understanding of the situation than God. We're like, God, why? Why did you choose to do this, God? It would have been better, God, if you did this instead. But the reality is, if God left it up to us and we made the choices for ourselves, we would probably be in worse shape than we are now. Because he understands us. He knows us. He knows what's best for us. Remember, the reason why you worry is because you are finite, but he is infinite, and you can trust God. But also, learn to live in the present. Learn to live in the present. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Notice this. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. When you seek God's will first, God promises that he will take care of everything else. You don't need to worry about tomorrow because God has it under control. Charles Spurgeon put it this way. He says, it's folly to think that the Lord provides grace for every trouble but the one that you're in today. How true that is. O.S. Hawkins reminds us, worry will not empty tomorrow of its trials, but it will empty today of its triumphs. Man, how true that is. I mean, just think through your life. I mean, you can have tons of things that are happening, some wonderful things that are happening. You get up in the morning, you get up on time, you go and you turn the shower on, you got some hot water, you go to your car, you turn it over, it fires up and you get to work and you don't get any accidents on the way to work. And when you get the job, guess what? You still got a job and you go and you work and you may even get a bonus. Who knows? Everything just goes great. Everything goes wonderful. You get in your car, you go home and you got some guy that cuts you off, flips you the bird, and then what do? When you go home? Oh, I can't believe what happened today. All these wonderful things that have happened in your life, and it's just that one little thing that just ruins everything, doesn't it? Think about that. Worry will not empty tomorrow of its trials, but it will empty today of its triumphs. Or as Mark Twain slyly put it, he says, I've had many troubles in life, most of which never happened. Imagine the things that we worry about. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, they worry about what this may happen, or this may happen, or this may. And I say, has it happened? Well, no. Well, then why are you worrying about it? Why are you wasting time worrying about that? Let it happen first, then we'll have that conversation. But we worry about things that oftentimes will never happen, never takes place. You need to learn to live in the present. Don't let the worries of tomorrow rob you of your joy in Christ today. Now, that doesn't mean we just sit back and we get up on the mountain and we start singing, you know, Kumbaya and just let everything happen. No, there's other principles in the scriptures that we are to be working, and we are to be working towards things. You don't build a castle without counting the costs first. There are things that we must be doing. If you don't work, you don't eat, the scripture says. So there are things that we should be doing, and that God gives us a brain, He expects us to use it, and He wants us to use it accordingly. But we're talking about worrying here, worrying about, you know, you're sitting there doing everything you can and things aren't working out. Why worry about it? All right, but also we need to pray about it. Pray about it. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, let's read that together. It's on the screen. Let's read it together. What does it say? Be anxious for nothing. Whoops, stop. Hang on. Let's read that again. Be anxious for your circumstances, for your situation, for your problems, your marriage, health, finances. No. Be anxious for nothing. Nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, which with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. This is an amazing verse. This is a wonderful verse. Maybe some of you need to actually put that out on a card and put it in different places in your house, put it in different places in your work, because you're anxious all the time. Notice what it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, that's where it starts, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Even in the most dire situations that we're in, there is always something to be thankful for. And we need to have that attitude of thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. Oftentimes I talk about, and they're talking about all these things that are happening in their lives, and I just, well, have you gone to God about it? Well, no. Why not? Well, you know, don't want to bother God. You know, He's got too many other things going on in life. You know, there's people out there that are worse off than I am. You know, well, you don't think God can handle that? He's God. Come on. Go to God, no matter how big or small your problem may be. This is what the Scripture is telling us here. Go to God, make your request known to Him, and then what's going to happen? What does it say here? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Do you want the peace of God? Do you want the peace that passes all understanding? This is how you receive it. This is how you get it. Be anxious for nothing. Go to prayer and supplication to God and give thanks for what God has already given to you. And then you go and you make your request known to God, is what the scripture is saying here. I mean, that's a pretty good trait, is it not? Let's think about it. You give God all your worries and request, and in return, He gives you His peace instead. That's a no-brainer. Why wouldn't we want to do that? Why would we want to do that? Prayer makes all the difference. There's an old song that says, why worry when you can pray? And you know what? That's a great question. That's a great question. Pray about it. And God's peace will guard your heart and mind in Jesus Christ. But also, you want to fill your mind with good thoughts. Philippians 4, verse 8, many of you probably know this verse if you've been around the church very long. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, what does it say? Meditate on these things. These are the things that you're supposed to be thinking about. These are the things that you're supposed to be dwelling on and meditating on. Instead of filling your mind with anxious thoughts about all sorts of things that probably won't even happen, read your Bible, listen to good Christian music, and fill your mind with the good thoughts that Paul's talking about here. This is another reason why the Bible tells us that we are to take every thought into captivity. When a thought comes to mind, we hold it up and we evaluate it, we think on it, we don't sit there and dwell on it, and if it fits into the list that Paul gave us here, great, it'll be a benefit to you. If not, well then you need to take a step back and you need to examine whether or not this is something that you should be considering, or is it something that, hey, you know what, we just need to give this over to God. We need to get over to Him. That's a God problem, not my problem. That's a God thing. He's got to deal with that. And then, of course, lastly, we need to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. Just like last week, we end with the fruit of the Spirit. Only as the Holy Spirit changes your character from within will you finally have victory over sin and worry. And the fruits of the Spirit that we probably need to focus on in relation to worry is probably the fruit of joy and the fruit of peace. It's especially applicable here to this problem of worry. You can't have joy and peace in your life if you're continuing to worry. But if you have joy and peace in your life, that will help you combat worry in your life. How many of you ever heard the song, "Don't Worry, Be Happy"? Raise your hand. How many of you will be hearing that song for the rest of the day? Yes, I'm going to be getting some hate mail whenever we get home, but I'm not worried about it. Don't worry, be happy. You know, you've heard the song. Well, here's Proverbs' version of that here this morning. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, it says, "A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bone." Love the imagery here. I mean, you've heard the saying, laughter is the best medicine, right? You probably heard that. Well, this is where they get it from. A merry heart does good like medicine. I mean, this is why they have like a lot of, especially in the kids' hospitals, you know, they have the clowns and things like that. Because they understand there's actually science behind this. If you can get them laughing, if you can get them joyful and merry, oftentimes that has a positive effect on their well-being. And they get better quicker and they get better faster. How many of you have dried bones here this morning? A crushed spirit. It's because you don't have a merry heart because you're worried sick. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bone. Here's another one. Psalms chapter 94, verses 19, it says, "And a multitude of my anxieties within me, your comfort delights my soul." Get the idea here. In the multitude of my anxieties within me. Man, you are filled with anxiety. You are filled with issues that are going on in your life. But in the midst of that, right in the center of that, it says, "Your comfort delights my soul." How good is that? Again, that's another verse that maybe you need to put on a card and put on your mirror so you can read it before you go to bed at night. Maybe you get a good night's sleep. In the midst of your anxieties, you got comfort there. His comfort will delight your soul. What a wonderful verse that is. I mean, it sounds like a much better option than dried bones, doesn't it? Listen, worry will rob you of your joy. Worry will make you unfruitful. And worry doesn't accomplish anything. And worry shows a lack of trust in God. Hey, listen, there's a better way. There's a better way. Jesus came to help you with your problems. And he will help you with this problem of worry, if you allow him. Take these points here today and go home and think about those things that you're struggling with. Think about those anxieties. In fact, if you got a lot of them, maybe you even want to write them down. And one by one, you go through them and say, "Okay, God, I'm handing this one over to you." Next, "Okay, God, I'm handing this over to you. I'm not going to worry about that anymore. I'm giving it over to you. You tell me to bring my request to you. Well, I'm bringing my request to you. God, I need you to take care of those." He will help you with your problem with worry. So, don't worry. Be happy. Let's go to the Lord and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. Well, thank you for your word. And Lord, I don't know if there's a problem out there that we can't find some scriptures, Lord, that will help us in dealing with those things. And I know that throughout this series, Lord, we're just going to be really just scratching the surface, Lord. But I pray, God, that what we can glean from the scriptures here this morning will start to help us deal with these issues and these problems that we have and put us on the right track, Lord, so that we can grow in our faith and we can build up our Christian lives, Lord, to represent what you would have us to represent here in this world. Lord, you have not called us to live a life of worry and doubt and fear. anxiety. But God, you want us to live the abundant life. You want us to live a life where we have totally put our faith and trust in you. God, you've taken care of the birds. We don't see any birds around building barns and trying to collect food and running around with backpacks on or signs that say, feed me, Lord. You've taken care of them. How much more important are we, Lord? You sent your only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us so that we can have life. And so, Lord, we know that you will step in and you will help us in our time of need. And, Lord, it's through those times where we have to humble ourselves and we need to come to you and we need to learn to trust. So help us, Lord, with that. And we ask it all in Jesus' name, we do pray.